the whole point of that is don't get hung up on what somebody's paying for the house. Who cares? If it hits your numbers, buy it. Make an offer that you can live with. Make an offer that makes sense to you, that's going to get you closer to your investment goals. All right, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Atlanta Real Estate Investor Podcast. I am your host, Spencer Sutton, and I'm excited today because we're going to talk about lead gen, right? So I'm going to give you five ways how you can find great deals, even in a competitive market. Like, I know the market is competitive. We're finishing 2021. We're about to launch into 2022. And for the foreseeable future, it's going to be competitive. So you're going to need to know how to find great deals. Before we go there, though, I want to make a great announcement, something that I'm very passionate about. And that is, we have started a new podcast. We're starting a new podcast. It's going to be called, or is called, the Evernest Real Estate Investor Podcast. I know that's very original, but this podcast is going to be for a national audience. And so we're going to have a national guest come on the show, and we're going to interview them. We're going to be looking at different markets. So not only are we going to be examining Birmingham, but we're going to also be looking at Chattanooga, Little Rock, Memphis, Denver, Atlanta, Columbus, Ohio, Jackson, Mississippi. We're in a lot of different markets. And so this is going to be really, really fun. We're going to bring in experts from all of these different markets. And the truth is, we're growing. So as we grow, we're going to expand our offering of market analysis. And this is the great thing about this podcast is we're going to start buying houses in these markets and walking you through the entire process. So you can see deal analysis, deal flow, how we got the houses, what we purchased them for, all of the repairs, the things that we do right, the things that we do wrong. We screw up all the numbers. So you can see profitability, cash flow, all of that is going to be on this new podcast. And so look for it. It's coming out. First episode's October 11th, 2021, and we're excited about that. So we're going to kick that off very soon. But today, we're going to be talking about how you can find great deals even in the competitive market. I'm going to walk you through five different ways that you can do that. So the first thing I would say here is I want to take us back. We did an episode at the beginning of the year, I want to say in January, all about your investment goals. And so there's two things that you need to do before you start thinking about buying properties. Number one is you need to figure out what your buy box is. What are you comfortable buying? What is the right house for you? And then don't deviate from it. Don't be tempted to buy outside of that box because it's not going to go well for you. I did this several times and made mistakes. In the mid-2000s, I bought houses completely out of my buy box. Now, it was a very hot market back then, much like it is today. So I was able to offload some of those that I didn't want. But the key was that I bought them at such a deep discount that I was able to offload them. In today's market, you're going to have to do a considerable amount of work to find a deeply discounted property. Now, they can be found, and I'm going to talk to you about that. But you need to know your buy box. Stick with that buy box. If you want to buy houses that are built in the 60s and 70s that are 3-2s, brick ranchers, then you're going to be buying in specific parts of Birmingham, right? So you're going to avoid other parts of Birmingham. So know your buy box. Know what you're comfortable with. A lot of this has to do with risk and reward. So in the new podcast that's coming out, one of the episodes that we recently recorded was all about like understanding A, B, C, D class properties and what you are going to get, the risk reward, the pros and the cons. So I'm going to encourage you to listen to that. But you want to understand your buy box, number one. Then you want to set your investment goals. You want to determine what it is you're trying to accomplish. Like, what is your monthly cash flow target? Now, in this new podcast, we are going to be talking we're going to flippers, wholesalers, and cash flow investors. So we're going to be looking at the broad spectrum of things. And really, because I know I've got a friend right now, Bruce Glenn, who we've had on this show. He's been flipping houses for a long, long time. And he's owned rentals in the past. He sold them. Now he's back to buying rentals. But a lot of the times he uses his flip profits to pay for his rental. So you can mix and match this stuff, but you need to understand what your buy box is. Then you need to settle in on your investment goals. Know what you're trying to accomplish and don't deviate. Okay. So that's it. So how do you find great deals? So I'm going to walk you through five ways that I've done and five ways that I've either done myself or I've seen done very successfully that I think you can learn from. So, you know, number one, I would say what would be one of the easiest ways to get into this, the easiest ways to really start poring over deals, and that is to find an investment-minded, investment-focused realtor. Find this person. This is somebody who specifically deals with rental properties, who's buying houses for, it doesn't have to be rental properties, it just is really focused on helping investors. And like this agent is going to be the person who's going to keep you in. They're going to submit offers on your behalf. They're going to negotiate on your behalf, but they can be set up in their MLS and where they can send you deals. And if they fit, as long as they fit your buy box. So you need to build a relationship with this agent, let them understand what your buy box is. And then as they can put alerts on their in MLS. And once these deals come across their table, they'll share them with you and make offers. Now, I know that there are certain investors that have gotten so comfortable and such a great relationship with their realtors that they allow them to make offers on their behalf. Anything that fits this criteria, you make an offer. Don't worry about it. You make an offer. This is the price. Here's the ARV. Here's the discount I'm willing to give. And then we can go in and look at the amount of repairs it needs and all that stuff. So it's just essentially this agent is making offers. Now, this is a volume play. This is not going to be make one offer, get one deal. Okay. This is going to be a volume play. And so I think it's important to have an investor who's specifically focused on investment deals. One of the ways that we, like just this past year in 2021, in 2021, January, we started offering this to investors. Not only in Birmingham, but in Atlanta, Columbus, Ohio, Denver, Memphis, Jackson, Tennessee. So we've expanded our offering because we've seen investors come in and, man, we've been able to buy 500 plus properties for investors just this year. Like these are properties that meet their buy box. And we're able to then take them through the rehab process and then put these houses on the market, get them leased, and put them in their portfolio. So find an agent. If you need one, reach out to us. And you can do that. You can go. There's a form. We've talked about this on this podcast before. Evernest.co/pocket-listings. Fill that out. And one of our team members, one of our agents will be in touch with you. And we can start the process with you. Another way to do this with realtors is that I've seen done successfully here in Birmingham with several people. Is building relationships with retail agents for the purpose of referrals. Now, these are agents that are typically selling houses retail. They're not focused on investment per se. But if you build relationships with them, if you let them know that you're willing to buy distressed properties, there's potential that if you build this relationship and you're able to perform, meaning you're able to make offers, you're not just going to waste their time. If you're able to make offers on distressed properties, there's a chance that they will bring you deals themselves. Like we had who do we have on here? We've had Bruce Glenn. He does this very successfully. And then we've had Matthew Gregory, who probably flips more houses in Birmingham than anybody else, close to 100 a year. And he's done this very successfully. Now, why do realtors bring him deals? Why do realtors bring Bruce deals? Because these houses are in rough shape. Maybe they're inherited. maybe, you know, they've just become dilapidated. They cannot sell on the retail market. And so they're brought to these agents. These agents are able to say, hey, you know what? I can't list this property, but you know what I can do? I can probably get you an offer. And so they take it to somebody like Matthew. They take it to somebody like Bruce, and they perform. They're able to pay cash and get the deal closed. And so that's very valuable. And so when an agent has that experience, a house that they wouldn't be able to list on the retail market, when they have the experience of giving it to this investor and the investor is able to perform, the seller is delighted, is thrilled because this house, there's no way it's going to pass any kind of inspection, then it's a win-win. And the great thing about it is, the house flipper, or, you know, in this case, the house flipper, they will fix the property up and they'll list it back with the agent. So the agent gets double commission. So you can build relationships with retail agents as well. So that's one way is through realtors. Another way, and this is the way that people used to buy houses from me, is they just make relationships with wholesalers. I had a list of people who I knew would buy houses. I knew that they would perform. I knew that they would pay cash, pay quickly. And so I've developed relationships with people all the time as a wholesaler. So what you need to do is find wholesalers. You can find them online through many ways. I would get on their list. I would reach out to them. I was talking to an investor here recently in Birmingham within the past year. And he said, he got on some lists, some wholesalers list, and he would be refreshing. So what people typically do is they wait for an email to come out, and the email directs them to a website that shows new properties. What he would do is he would get on the website and refresh it every morning and look for new deals before the email went out. And then he would start getting in touch with the wholesaler saying, hey, before you send the email out, I want to make an offer on this house. He was very aggressive, but he got deals. And so, you know, getting on wholesalers' list is step one, but then ensuring, like reaching out, making sure they know who you are, you let them know that you're able to perform, that is step two. And then you need to hold true to that. Like, you need to be able to pull the trigger. But wholesalers absolutely will bring you deals. Now, what is a great way to work with wholesalers? A great way to work with wholesalers is just understand your numbers and what you can pay for a house. And you don't worry about what they pay for the house. You don't worry about what they have it under contract for. Many investors lost deals with me over the years because they got hung up on what I paid for the house. And the point is, who cares? Why do you care what I paid for the house? It doesn't even matter. Like, I'm spending my money on marketing. I'm negotiating a deal with the owner. And back when I was wholesaling, I was actually closing on these properties. So I wasn't just putting them under contract and trying to sell the contract. I was literally closing, paying cash for the deal, getting it done fast, huge benefit to the seller. And then I could sell it for whatever the market was willing to pay for it. And there were people who just couldn't get over that I was going to make, you know, $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 on a wholesale within a matter of days. And that's okay. They didn't have to buy it. The whole point of that is, don't get hung up on what somebody's paying for the house. Who cares? If it hits your numbers, buy it. Make an offer that you can live with. Make an offer that makes sense to you, that's going to get you closer to your investment goals. So wholesalers are a great resource. Third one is something that, so the first two I would say are going to take you time. They're going to take you energy. There's going to be effort on your behalf, right? There's going to be definitely be effort on your behalf. This third one is also going to take a lot of effort on your behalf. And that is, and it really depends on if you live here in Birmingham or if you're out of state, but this one would be drive neighborhoods. And this is, we used to do this as well. So we had billboards all over the city, but we were also driving neighborhoods and looking for houses with, the key giveaway for us was rotten wood and peeling paint. Any house that we saw with rotten wood and peeling paint, we were going to write down that address. We're going to go find who owned the property, if they lived there or if they didn't live there. And we were going to shoot them, put a piece of direct mail send them a piece of mail and just try to get in touch with them. If we could find out who it was and call them, if we could find their phone number, of course, we didn't have back then all the skip tracing and stuff that we do now. So it was a bit more difficult, but driving neighborhoods. Now, I know there's an app out there that a lot of investors use called Deal Machine. And Deal Machine will literally pull the records of that property. You take a picture, it knows where you are, it pulls the record of the property. It will send a piece of mail for you to that address or to the owner of that address, whether they live there or don't live there, with a picture of the property. So there's a lot of cool things that you can do with an app like Deal Machine. I'm sure there are other apps out there that help investors as they drive neighborhoods and try to find property. So, you know, I've got friends who say, okay, I'm going to focus on this area, this particular area is where I want to buy houses. I've had a lot of success. I've built somewhat of a rental portfolio, or I flipped houses here. And so I'm going to just focus on this area. And so all they do is drive that area, finding deals. That is a great way to do it. Again, back then we didn't have Deal Machine. Now it makes it easier, but it does take effort. So if you live in California, more than likely you're not going to be able to do this unless you find somebody locally who is willing to put in the sweat equity and you're willing to split a deal with them or some type of joint venture. Maybe you have the money, they have the sweat equity. Together, you can find a property, buy it, either put it in a rental portfolio or fix it up and flip it, whatever the case is. But you can do a JV deal like that. I've seen this happen many, many times. There's always people out there. If you have the money or you have the hustle, there's always people on the other side of that equation who are willing to partner with you. You just have to find them. And it's not very difficult. Investors, we all hang out in the same type of places. All right. So that's number three. Number four is a direct mail campaign. Now, I want to say this. I have done tons of direct mail, and it has worked extremely well. Now, today's market is very saturated, but I will say direct mail still works. And this is the key. I'm going to give you the secret to success with direct mail. You know, people look to direct mail for like this quick hit, big win, whatever the case is. In my opinion, direct mail is a long game. So you have to commit to it. If you mail a zip code, let's say 35206, you want to buy a property in Eastlake, 35206, you mail a property expecting to get a hit on your first mail. Let's say you mail 2,000 properties, 2,000 addresses, whatever the case is. Don't expect that. Because these people who own these properties, whether they're a homeowner or whether they're an investor, they get this stuff all the time, right? But if you're consistent, then what this game is all about is timing. It's all about timing. Now, they may take somebody's piece of direct mail, and this is what they used to do back in the day. They used to take it and save it for when they might need it later. I think they get so many of them now that they don't even save them anymore. They just throw them all away until the time is right. So what changes to make the time right? Well, there's a death in the family, or if they're a landlord and they have an eviction that they're going through, there's some type of pain that is going to cause them to say, I need to get rid of this house. Like an inherited house. Like, what are we going to do with this house? This house, you know, this person's lived in it for 40 years. It needs a massive amount of work to put on the retail market. We're not going to do the work. You know, we've got all these siblings that now own this property. We need to sell this house. That's a pain point. If you're talking with a landlord, pain point, a tenant moves out or a tenant trashes a house or they're going through an eviction, pain point. That's when you want to reach them. And so direct mail is all about consistency. So this is what I would do. I would focus on an area. I would find a list using your buy box criteria. I would craft a message, like a direct response message. Now, if you don't know how to do direct response copywriting, then this might be a problem for you. I would definitely look up how to do that. I'm sure there's all kinds of free stuff on the web that you can learn how to do direct response. Direct response. You want to solve problems. You want a call to action. You don't want to just give information and talk about yourself. Then you have to be able to answer the phone. You must be able to answer the phone because they may have a stack of three or four of these and you're number one or number two. Are you going to pick up the phone or not? So we used to have a buy phone. We called it the buy phone. It was a separate phone. Anytime that phone rang, we knew it was somebody wanting to sell a house. So you better believe if we were eating dinner with our wives or if we were at a kid's baseball game or whatever the case is, we were picking up that phone. We knew that phone call was a potential for a deal. And so you've got to be able to answer the phone. And then the last thing is just like I mentioned before, you have to be consistent. It's all about timing. Consistent, consistent, consistent. I was talking with a gentleman. I'm training for this race that's coming up in October of this year, later this month, actually. Gee whiz, it's coming fast. And anyway, he was talking about this is a very long race with a ton of obstacles. And he's completed a lot of these. And his like the comment that stuck into my head was, relentless forward progression. He was like, you don't want to stop. There's a halfway point in this race. You can go in the tent. You can change your shoes, your socks, your clothes, whatever. You can eat. You can, you know, chillax, relax, whatever. He said, that's where people quit. He said, relentless forward progression. And it's the same way with this. Like, this is all about activity, activity, activity. And direct mail is a great way to get out there and just keep pounding the pavement through direct mail. Now, this takes not only effort, it takes commitment. All right. So direct mail is a commitment. It is, again, it's a long-term commitment. And it's so it's going to take money. It's going to take resources. And you just need to be able to understand those numbers, track all those numbers. I would have a spreadsheet where I'm tracking every dollar I'm spending on it and then every dollar that you make when you buy a property. The last one is much like direct mail, but what I've seen people doing now is they are actually pulling lists. So direct mail list, and then they're paying for someone to do to skip trace all of these lists to find phone numbers and emails for the owners of these properties. So you can do that. You can go to Upwork. You can get a list through whatever directory you want to. There's plenty of list directories out there. Then you can go to Upwork. You can find somebody who will do all the skip tracing for you and come back with what they believe are phone numbers and emails for people who own these properties. Now, this is going to be hit or miss. So you need to know who you're hiring, what kind of reviews they have, are they been able to do it? And then what you can do is it's totally up to you. You can be the one to call all these people, or you can find a VA to call all of these people. And there are phone systems out there that will allow them to call 60 to 90 people every hour and automatically leave voicemails, like voicemails that you can record. They can drop those voicemails in if they don't pick up. But then it's just a numbers game. So they have a list, they have phone numbers and emails, and then they are pounding the emails. Now you want to make sure that you're checking the phone numbers against the do not call list. I want to give that caveat there. You don't want to be calling somebody that you're not supposed to. But if they're not on the do not call list, then you can absolutely give them a call. Now, Facebook has changed a bit recently with iOS updates on privacy. So I'm not sure how effective this can be, but you could also upload people's email and phone number into Facebook, see if you can find them on Facebook and then run ads in front of them. So that's just another way that you can get in front of these people. So those are five ways. Now, this is kind of high level stuff. You're going to have to do the work to actually to get this done. But I believe these are great ways to find deals, even in a competitive market. Like this market is more than likely going to continue, maybe not at the pace it has, but there's so much money sitting on the sidelines waiting for deals that you can't wait for this downturn. Like a massive downturn, because what's happened is there's institutional money that is sitting on the sidelines that any kind of dip we experience, they are going to be there, still competing, still buying properties. They're not going to, these houses are not going to drop 20, 30, 40, 50% in value from what we can tell, because there's always like this bottom that institutionals, there's numbers that institutional investors are going to be gobbling these houses up. So you might as well get in the game. Just be comfortable with your numbers, your buy box, your investment goals. And then it doesn't matter who else is out there buying. You just have to put in the effort to find the deals. All right, everybody. Listen, if it wouldn't be too much trouble, I'd love for you to go on Apple iTunes and leave us a review. Give us a 5-star if you found value in any one of our podcasts, in any one of these episodes. And then make sure you check out the new podcast, the Evernest Real Estate Investor Podcast. We would love for you to come and start listening to that. Again, we're going to have some really great guests, some great information. We have brought in a new host. So Matthew and I are going to be doing this one with Gray Hall. Gray Hall runs our brokerage division. So he is seeing deals. He's on the front line getting deals done. And so that's why we thought, hey, this will be great to bring Gray in. We're going to be able to analyze deals, hear what investors are buying, interview investors, and then buy properties ourselves and really just go through the numbers with you. So I'm excited about that. Check us out and make sure you subscribe to that one as well. All right, everybody, I will see you on the next episode of the podcast.